Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's crack a beer and get the ball rolling, Mini. First and foremost, bear with me tonight. If you guys can't tell, I have been dealing with a frog in the throat, a little bit of drainage for most of the day here today, so gonna try to do my best to keep this short and sweet for you guys tonight, but we do have some stuff to catch up on from last week, and it sounded like we had some technical difficulties with the second half of the podcast with kind of like football, pro sports, that kind of stuff. So we'll kind of focus on a little bit what I talked last week, which is perfect because there's not a ton to catch up on. So jumping right into it, just here for the beer, what are we drinking tonight? Tonight we went with the Lemonade Refreshing Ale from Surly Brewing. And I have to say, I am really surprised by this. Really like this a lot. I think it's very citrusy. It's not blasting you in the face. It's malty, which kind of surprised me. I figured this was going to be, even though it says refreshing ale on it, I figured it was going to be a little bit more of a seltzer. It is not, but I like it. I think it's a great summer drink. Easy to drink, easy to throw back. 5.5 APB, and you know, it's bright, it's crisp. I mean, yeah, I would say, I would urge you guys, if you find like, try to think of like your typical just like ale beer, throw a lemon in it, and this is what it tastes like. It's not, again, I know a lot of people, a lot of beer drinkers kind of get skittish of some of this flavored stuff because they think it's just going to be blasting them in the face, and rightfully so. There are some we've had on the podcast that are like that. This is not that case. So I ordered you guys to go try this. Obviously, for my listeners that have been for around for a while, we are paying some homage to a brewery we've been with since the beginning, Surly Brewing Company. For those that are new, they are in Minneapolis. They're in the industrial park kind of area off of 280 and University Avenue. To give a little more context, it's kind of by, the market at Malcolm Yards and the O'Shaughnessy Distilling Company, which we've had and had on the podcast as well before too. So yeah, definitely go check Surly out. I'm sure many of you have, and if you haven't, it is definitely a good place to frequent. Yeah, again, you know, we've done them so many times. I know a lot of you guys kind of know what to expect. You know, go to the surlybrewing.com. They have a ton of really cool concerts. Now that it's nice out, kind of getting into fall here, they got some really cool events happening, really great food, and it sounds like they've had some newer additions to their beer lineups. So go check them out. I don't know. I really like this. Let's go 9.5. I really like this. I would get it again. I would go out of my way to get it. I am just a little skittish. I don't know that it's something I would drink in the middle of winter. But yeah, like I said, easy drink. I think a lot of people would enjoy it. Surlybrewing.com. Find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And like I mentioned, for those that are interested in visiting, they are closed on Mondays, but opened Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 3 to 10, Friday, 3 to midnight, Saturdays, 11 a.m. to midnight, and then Sundays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. So if you haven't, go check them out. So for Tommy Town this week, we actually have some news from the women's hockey team like we did last week. It was announced earlier this week on Tuesday that another member of Joel Johnson's freshman class has received honors post-graduation. The first was Ella Borger of Andover High School, who was named Miss Hockey Minnesota in February. And now it's Riley Bartz from Warroad, who has followed suit with a national honor. Earlier this week on Tuesday, she was named the 2022-2023 USA Today HSSA National Girls Hockey Player of the Year. She was selected as the winner from a team of 25 nominees picked from all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Two of her future teammates were also nominated, Ella House from Hill Murray and Ella Boringer from Andover. Riley finished her high school career with the Minnesota, leading 107 points this last season for the Warriors of Warroad. So a huge congratulations to her. Can't wait to see her contributions she makes this upcoming season for this women's hockey team, destined to make the next step. And then now that we are officially less than a month away, the only other news we have to report on for you guys as far as the Tommies are concerned is football related. So on the same day, it was reported of Riley, the St. Thomas football team was picked to win the Pioneer League Football League. St. Thomas received 98 of 100 possible points for a team that not only has high expectations for themselves, but the Pioneer Football League members also think so as well after winning their first title this last year in 2022. The Pioneer Football League coaches think the Tommies are the team to beat as they received 98 of a possible 100 points like I mentioned. St. Thomas also received 8 of 10 first place votes and were ranked second overall in the other two coaches' polls. It is also worth noting head coaches are not allowed to vote for their own teams. St. Thomas is coming off an impressive season where they won their first Pioneer Football League title in just their second season in the conference. Thanks to its high-flying offense and commanding defense, St. Thomas outscored opponents 358 to 189 and completed the 2022 season with a 8-0 mark in Pioneer Football League play. If that wasn't good enough, the Tommies' numbers against conference opponents last year were also particularly impressive as they added outscoring their opponents by a significant margin. They also gained just shy of 1,400 total offensive yards, 1,398 to be exact, while tallying 729 tackles on defense. This team should only get better as they are bringing back most of their team from last year. And like I mentioned, we are less than a month away, people. St. Thomas is officially kicking off the season on Saturday, September 2nd, when the team hosts Black Hills State University. And then if that wasn't enough for the football team, later in the day, it was announced that junior wide receiver Andrew McElroy from Bolingbrook, Illinois, was named to the Stats Platform FCS All-American team. Yes, you heard that right. McElroy garnered third team preseason All-American honors after a breakout sophomore season in 2022. A first-team all-conference selection in the Pioneer Football League, McElroy appeared in all 11 games for the Tommies last year as a wide receiver and a kick returner. In 11 games, he accumulated 1,162 all-purpose yards between receptions and kick returns, including 717 receiving yards with 7 receiving touchdowns. And he was named the Pioneer Football League Offensive Player of the Week after putting together the conference's only 300 all-purpose yard game against San Diego at the end of October last season, and was the only unanimous selection for the All-Pioneer Football League team at the conclusion of the season. In total, 107 student-athletes from 52 schools and 13 FCS conferences were honored Tuesday morning, including McElroy, who was the first ever St. Thomas preseason All-America in the D1 era in any sport. Additionally, he was a lone student-athlete honored from the Pioneer Football League, so a huge, huge congratulations to him. Can't wait to see how great of a season he had last year. Can't wait to see what he does this season. But if that wasn't enough, the very next day it was announced that 9 Tommies would land on the Pioneer Football League preseason all-conference teams. Like I mentioned, the preseason honors continue to roll for the football team. Wednesday, 9 Tommy student-athletes were recognized as members of the Pioneer Football League all-conference teams, including 5 first-team honorees. And this marks an all-time record for the program as it's doubled its preseason all-conference honorees from 2022. Jonathan Bruce, Yusuf Leek, Andrew McElroy, Alec Rasmussen, Sean Shipman were voted preseason first-team all-conference by Pioneer Football League head coaches, while Jason Liberte, Luke Herzog, Landon Reed, Griff Wirtz, garnered second and third team nominees. It counts as the biggest preseason all-conference class since the Tommies joined the Pioneer Football League in 2020. The Pioneer Football League's preseason all-conference teams are voted on by the league's 11 head coaches. Members of the ballots are nominated by the conference's sports, information, and athletic communications professionals. Returning members of the 2022 all-conference teams are automatically eligible for a nomination. So, huge, huge congratulations to all 9 of these players. It truly is unbelievable to see St. Thomas burst onto the scene after going D3 to D1 and just a span of not even 3 years, and St. Thomas is already making noise with women's basketball, boys basketball, football team, and all this kind of stuff, and hopefully to come a lot more sports. So congratulations to all of these players, and can't wait to see what this season holds for the Tommy football team. So on the topic of not being far away from football season, aka fall, which, do not worry, we've said it before, the mini weekend is not wishing summertime away. But that leads us into our local business shout out of the day. It's temporarily closed because they're between 2 seasons right now, but it's Jacobson's Pine Tree Apple Orchard. And for those that don't know, it's located over in the great city of White Bear Lake, Minnesota, right off of Apple Orchard Road. And yeah, again, for those that have been to it, not much that really needs to be explained. But for those that want more information, they're closed starting July 2nd until mid-August. So probably another week and a half here. They say check back after August. Oh, never mind. Maybe a little longer, after August 20th for an apple harvest update. On their website, they're committed to growing, providing the highest quality fruit in sustainable environment. If you're looking for freshly grown apples and strawberries, you have come to the right place. Strawberry season is mid-June to early July, and apple season is mid-August to March. Hours vary with the month. They urge you to check their website for their current hours, simply pinetreeappleorchard.com. During the fall, they offer an array of things, such as a corn maze, pick your own pumpkins, varieties of apples, homemade bakery products, caramel apples, fresh cider, anything you can think of, fall related, they have it. You guys gotta check it out if you haven't. It is a staple in our family. I've actually, growing up not far from this area, I've been going to it since I was, since I can remember. So, really, really fun area. Can't wait to take the little one, back. He had a fun time last year, and, can't wait to do it again when he's able to kind of walk around and do his own thing. So yeah, go check them out. You can find them on at pinetreeappleorchard.com, and they are also on Facebook and Instagram for information. So that is what we have for our local business shout out. And then, like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, is an effort to make it so that you guys don't have to listen to this voice for what I think last week's podcast was between 40 and 50 minutes. We're going to keep it short. We're going to kind of go over, like I said, because there's not a ton to recoup on between the last one and this one. We're just going to kind of go over what we talked about last week with the technical difficulties we had. So the big thing, no new news since the last podcast, but the last podcast, the primary thing we talked about as far as the Wild are concerned is they secured one of the, what was it, three necessities that this team needs to do going forward, which was on July 31st, they reached a three-year deal ahead of arbitration with goalie Philip Gustafson to a three-year $11.25 million contract. The Wild have little room left on their salary cap after accounting for Gustafson's $3.75 million annual average value. Guerin expects a 25-year-old to compete with Fleury for the starting job. And like I said, we only really need this guy. I'm glad they were able to come to a three-year deal, because really, we only need this guy for 2 to 3 more years before Jesper Wallstedt is probably going to spring into action and be the next big goalie in here. Excuse me. Just this last season, Gustafson made 37 starts, going 22-9-7 with 3 shutouts, a 2.1 goals against average, a .931 save percentage. And he had a shutout streak of 177 minutes and 13 seconds across 4 games from February 24th or 28th to March 12th, the third longest in franchise history last year. So super excited to get him back. Like I said, the Wild are, the Wild have been pretty low-key as far as moves have been going. I have to say, some of my friends have been surprised by this. I have not been, just because I know how restricted we are salary cap-wise. So it'll be interesting to see what we can do this summer and then next summer. But after next summer, most of that money should be off the books, and we're able to throw some money at some guys that we maybe want to get alongside Kirill and stuff like that. So that's what we have for the Wild. For the Timberwolves, much of the same story. Nothing new since last week's podcast. But what we kind of talked about mainly was Kyle Anderson is now a China citizen ahead of the World Cup. So Timberwolves forward Kyle Anderson will be playing for China at the World Cup. And then Anthony Edwards was one of 14 players selected for Team USA, wearing number 10. I'm sure you guys have seen him all over, all over Instagram, strutting his number, everything like that. Super excited for the guy. And if that wasn't enough, I know we talked about it earlier, but do want to remind everybody, because I did get a couple questions on the last podcast and this upcoming podcast too, because I didn't hear it. We have extended Anthony Edwards to a 5-year, $207 million contract with a chance of the deal reaching 260 mil. Not sure because both Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels are on team options this year, so not sure if this contract starts this year or next year. I would assume if the Wolves are smart, they would have it start next year. Still no news on re-signing Jaden McDaniels, but I am sure if I know anything about this Wolves team, that is the absolute next priority. Is locking him down for years to come, hopefully another 5-year deal. As I really think Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels are the two players you got to build this team around. Excuse me. That is what we have for the Wolves. And then, again, with my voice, I'm not gonna make you guys listen to, I think just what we talked about Vikings related last week was like 30 minutes or something like that. So I'm not gonna go on for 30 minutes for you guys tonight here with this voice. But the biggest thing we talked about last week was just kind of taking a look at this season as a whole. I'm sure many of you saw my TikTok actually breaking down the game by game predictions. Like I said, until something crazy happens, like it usually does, I'm hanging strong at my 11-6 prediction. Like I said, still keep an eye on Philly's gonna be a long shot, but keep an eye on those games like Philly, Kansas City, San Fran, and Cincinnati as games that, like the Buffalo game last year, that we had no reason winning, but we find a way to. Yeah, I think the biggest thing to take away from what I talked about last week that you guys didn't get is I think the most important thing about this schedule, with how it's constructed, I really think after the Green Bay game on New Year's Eve, Sunday Night Football, we will go into the final game, 11-5. And that last game with Detroit will be more important for them than it is for us. As with 11 wins, I think we'll already have it in the thing. The biggest thing we talked about last week was just the NFC North. So I know, again, you guys are 100% right that are gonna be talking in the comment section and everything like that, Jack. The Vikings do, so much better, leaps and loads better when people count us out. And as much as you are right, again, as much as you're right, I can't get over the time and time again, just a slap in the face the Vikings have been getting. Like, did we get lucky in a couple of our 13 wins last year to go 13-4? Of course we did. You don't become 13-4 on accident. So for a team like the Detroit Lions, don't get me wrong. Again, we talked about this last week. Don't get me wrong. This Detroit Lions team has the makings to really compete with the Vikings as, winners of the NFC North. But with that said, it baffles me because this Dallas team has had very, very good seasons in the past, and they still have never won the division. In fact, last week, the big thing we talked about was the start of the NFC North. The NFC North was created back in, I wrote it down here. Where did I put it? 2002. Okay. Since 2002, guess how many times the Lions have won the division. Zero. If that is not bad enough, since the start of the NFC North in 2002, this team has made the playoffs three times. 2011, 2014, and 2016. If that's not bad enough, in those 3 years, the Lions have zero playoff wins in that span. In fact, in 2011, when Matthew Stafford was comeback player of the year, the team went 10-6. That was one of the two times since 2002 that this team has had double-digit wins, okay? They lost to the Saints in New Orleans 28-45. Okay, 2014, they lost in the wild card at the Cowboys 20-24. And then in 2026, when they were 9-7, they lost to the Seahawks 6-26, lost in the wild card round. And again, this is, I'm not sitting on my pedestal over here talking about this team is going to do great things. We're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I would love for the Vikings to win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to hold my breath because I hate getting let down. I like having realistic expectations and seeing where they go from there. I just think it is ridiculous how often this team has been slighted. I mean, you look at last year. Last year, everybody thought Aaron Rodgers was on the Packers. This was the Packers division. They were going to win it. The Lions have Dan Campbell. They got Aiden Hutchinson. They're going to do great things. A lot of people last year had the Packers 1 in the division, the Lions 2, the Vikings 3. Okay. Now, this year, they have the Lions as this big team that won 9 games last year. You know, that's a fine season. but the Detroit Lions have been very much a team like the Minnesota Vikings, where when you expect much of them, they tend to let you down. I mean, like I said, the last time they won double-digit wins was back in 2014 when they went 11-5. The time before that, 2011, when they went 10-6. The time before that, you have to go all the way back to 95. Okay? Like, this team has not won. I mean, this team has to be right up there with longest losing streaks in the playoffs. You have to go all the way back to 1991 when they won a game. When they won 11-4 with Wayne Fontes as the coach of the year. So, again, I'm not saying the Vikings need to be put ahead because that puts us in a position where, you know, a lot's expected and then we shit the bed. So, not saying that, but the last thing we did kind of talk about, we kind of went through all 4 NFC teams' schedules. I'm not going to do that tonight. But I will do is go through this Detroit one. I think first and foremost, this Detroit Lions season will be very hit or miss on what they're able to do. This team could very well win 11, 12 games like us. They could also do worse last season when they went 9-8 and win, you know, 6-7 games. I look at games like the first game of the season. They got to go to Kansas City. I really think they're going to get throttled that game. I think they're going to get absolutely throttled. And then this team also has to go to Baltimore, to the Chargers, to Minnesota, and then to Dallas. Like, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, no. 1, Sorry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games right there that are very well losses. And then you look at a game like Thursday Night Football in Green Bay, could be a bit of a trap game for them. I think they're going to lose that game because, you know, they should be coming off of a home game from Atlanta in week 3. But they're only going to have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to get ready to go to Green Bay for Thursday Night Football. So that could very much be a trap game for them. You know, and then a team like Seattle is a good team. Would not be surprised if they lost that game and started 0-2. They should be able to beat them. But again, how they do this season completely is up to them. I look at games like they host Atlanta, who we talked about this on the TikTok. I think the NFC North or the NFC South is dog shit. So you look at games like Atlanta, hosting Carolina, hosting Denver, going to New Orleans, and going to Tampa Bay. Those are 5 games that could really make or break the team's season. If they can manage to win 4 or 5 of those games, they could probably give us a run for our money for the NFC North. If they're able to scrounge 2, maybe 3 of those games, I don't know if that'll be enough. Because this year is a grind. They got Sunday Night Football in Dallas. They got Monday Night Football against Vegas. Like, it's not like they're going up against super, super easy teams. And you look at, you know, up until the last couple weeks, everybody's going to give it your all. So I have to say, you know, it's like we talked about in the TikTok. You look at, you know, as much as you hate to admit it, until somebody beats the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs, the Kansas City Chiefs are the team to beat and the best team in the NFL. Until Philadelphia Eagles do not go back to the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in the NFC. So, you know, that's just how the cookie crumbles. Just like this, until we're not champs of the NFC North, we're the NFC North. And to add a little bit sauce to this, Detroit is looking for their first ever NFC division championship. The Vikings are looking for their first back-to-back NFC championships or division championships since 08, 09. So that should add a little bit more sauce to the party. And lastly, did not bring this up last week because it was not made yet, but for those that are interested and those that have been asking, yes, we are doing a 2023 mini weekend ESPN pick'em. Super easy. You guys don't have to make picks yet, but go to ESPN.com, hover over fantasy, click on Pigskin Pick'em, and in the search bar, you can search the mini, M-I-N-N-Y, and it should be the only one that pops up. Once again, submissions per person. And once again, based off of how many people we get in there will depend on how many people will get stuff out of winning. So with that, I will leave you guys with, remember, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are at miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's miniweekend@gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, Mini.